Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. As you always are, Fridays, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. Yeah, so nice to have you as always, everybody. And today, what I'm going to be doing is answering your questions, giving you suggestions and ideas on, you know, sort of how to help yourself. And of course, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. You know, I'm not your psychologist. But what I do is I give you some ideas, you know, about things that have worked in the past for other people and how maybe we can help you apply those concepts to your lives. So I always invite you to email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And lo and behold, got a whole slew of them from the last several weeks. And I thank you all. I've also let the folks who have emailed me and whose questions I'm going to answer or suggestions I'm going to give to, so that you can have a heads up and, you know, be listening. Call your friends, text your friends, email your friends, because I am going to try to sort of just kind of steer you in the right place, maybe, on how to deal with certain things. So today we're going to be talking about helping people with things like how to be happier. What? You mean I'm not supposed to struggle and beat myself up all the time? And life's not hard and so competitive in the world? Nope. So we're going to be talking about that. And I'm going to help Josh out in just a bit about some of the tips about how to be a little happier. Or actually what I'm going to do is tell you some of the traits that happy people have, things that happy people do, whatever that means. I mean, it's all relevant. It's very subjective, you know. What makes me happy doesn't make you happy, necessarily. But again, I'll give you some of those ideas. Also, which is very similar, but I received an email from a listener who is always self-sabotaging. Have you ever done that? Yeah. I think we all have from time to time. And, you know, there are reasons behind that. We don't feel like we're worthy. Or this is not what I'm deserving of. So I'm going to self-sabotage. Or you're not ready for something and, you know, you get scared or whatever. So what I'm going to talk about are simple ways to save yourself from messing up your life as well. On a more serious note, I received a lovely email from Tom, and this is about handling grief. He's lost a loved one recently, so I'm going to help him with that. And also, we're going to discuss some relationship issues. I'm going to help you out, and also help you with some tried and true stress busters. You know, everybody says, oh, I do yoga, but I still am really stressed out. You know, I meditate, okay? But I'm still really stressed out. So sort of, these are just really very rational and no-brainers that I'm going to give you, along with some of my own little tips that I use to chill out a little bit. So there you go. So let's get rocking here. So this is Josh's email. And thank you so much for reaching out, guys. Again, it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I encourage you to email me as well if you have any responses at this moment to some of the emails or what I'm saying. Or you can add something, too. That'd be great. I always love your input. So that's cool. So Josh says, I have a pretty good job and a decent relationship with a girlfriend I've been seeing for about a year. Yay. Good for you. For some reason, I feel like I have this heaviness about me. He says that I want to know how to be happier. Okay. So I get it. And I appreciate you asking that question. So it seems like you're, you know, you just got the blues a little bit. Something in your life out there may not be enough for you. I don't know what it is. Maybe you have to think about that, Josh. What is not fulfilling you? Do you have a little propensity towards depression? Some people do. They may have inherited it from a relative. That's what they say sometimes. We can inherit it, depressive symptoms. But you would just basically like to be happier in general. So what I've compiled is a list here for you, Josh, of the things that happy people do. Happier people do. And these are based on surveys, you know, of hundreds of people. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some of the little bullet points here of some of the habits that happy people practice. Okay. So, and these are no-brainers, and all your friends tell you this stuff, and whoever, your girlfriend, I'm sure, things like that. Everybody has their own advice, which is lovely. Stay open to all that and really listen to them. But actually, when it comes down to it, you have to do and what's right for you. You have to feel really good about it within yourself. You know, you can't go off what others are telling you to do because you have to live your life for you and do what vibes with you. So some of the most important things to stay happier is to just sort of appreciate and have gratitude for your life, right? I mean, let's just do a no-brainer. One of my favorite things to do every morning when I wake up is I say, thank you, higher power, for allowing me to wake up and be a conscious being. Yeah, I'm serious. We're going simple here. Be thankful that you woke up and alive each morning, Josh. You know, try to make every moment cool, even when you're doing something that's tedious or boring. Just do it. Be in the moment, right? Try to focus on things out there in the world. Focus out the window. Take a walk. You know what I'm saying? Don't take anything for granted. And please don't try to sweat the small stuff. A lot of people who are happier sort of know how to compartmentalize. Is this the small stuff box? Or is this the, yeah, I got to kind of be concerned about this, but I can, you know, take care of what needs to be taken care of. All right? Another really cool thing to make you a little happier is to do what you love. Yeah. Some statistics out there show that 80% of the people who were surveyed in this particular experiment that I'm looking at really don't like their jobs. So, no wonder, you know, there's so many people unhappy and running around. And, you know, we spend a great deal of our life working. And, of course, goofing around at work as well. So you need to find something, at least in your job. You said you had a pretty good job that you enjoy, parts of your job that you enjoy. You know, the extra money of a job you detest sometimes isn't worth it. Really. If you're on the treadmill, so you have to weigh the two. Is this money that I'm making from this job that's, is it really worth it? Yeah. Okay, then go for it and stay and try to make the best of it. Try to spin it to, I like this job because it gives me a great deal of money so I can do other things, have more freedom in my life. Or I like this job because I have cool coworkers and I'm good at what I do and I could just pump it out there and get appreciation for what I do. Okay. Also, happy people have other fun things they do in life that they find. It's hard to find a passion. A lot of people come in and say, how can I find my passion? And I say, well, kind of go within and see what you liked to do when you were a kid. What was interesting to you when you were a kid? Yes, we've gone through a lot of changes and grown up and done all those things. But sometimes we have to find things that really are enjoyable to us, whatever it may be. You know, I have different patients who have different talents, but they're not going to make a full living at it. They're going to try to go for it as much as they can and also pay the rent with their other job. But, you know, I have artists, literal artists, who are amazing, you know, and they sell some paintings. Yeah, they sell some of their amazing paintings. But it's not enough to pay the bills. But they enjoy it. It's expression. So find something that you can do through expression, whatever it may be. You know, it could be an active sport you're into. It could be, you know, taking singing lessons, something like that. So make time to enjoy your hobbies and find, you don't have to have a passion. A lot of people don't just come and say, I have a passion. But you have to sort of explore and find what kind of is vibing with you, and enjoy some people who are involved in that as well. You can make new friends. So that makes us really happy too. Just kind of check out special interests. And part of that is learning continuously. You know, try to keep up to date, you know, with new things that might interest you. Try some cuckoo things too. I don't know. Take some dancing lessons if you're a klutz or you'd like to learn how to tango. You know what I'm saying? Learn how to ski. You know? Surf. Something like that. Just do some fun things. Get out of your box. Find time. And make time. That's another big thing. A lot of people make a lot of excuses. I don't have time. Well, you're going to have to change that job of yours then. Or you're going to have to learn how to organize your time better. Because we all can make time to do things that please us. And, you know, taking care of you, too. So maybe you won't take up a hobby right away or find a passion right away or get into something. But, you know, pamper yourself. Get some massages. Yeah. Get into yoga. Yeah, a lot of people, I'm in yoga, you know, and that's cool. Get into a meditation group. Learn how to just still your mind. Okay. Get with a really good hypnotist who can teach you how to relax yourself. Okay, so those are some other ideas about, you know, some of the things that happy people do. More happy people also do not self-pity, and they don't wallow in negativity. They kind of face a challenge and get busy trying to find a solution. You know, we all have setbacks. Every day we have setbacks. There's something. Whether it's small or not, you know, we're waiting in line for something, we're in the traffic for something, there's always something at work that comes up, a last minute, oh my God, I have to, whatever, get back to that person. So I want you to see each new obstacle you face as an opportunity to make a positive change. Think about all these things. And also, something else, which is kind of cool, and you've got to, it's sort of developing within you, and it has, the little older you get, you know, we get it when we're really young, and then we lose it because of our hormones when we're adolescents, and then we sort of start getting it back again when we're sort of through that early adult stage. And it's trusting our gut instincts, getting in touch with our gut. In other words, having a little more intuition about, is this, how do I feel about this person? How do I feel about this situation? What's my gut telling me based on my past experiences? A lot of times our first feelings and gut feelings are right. Okay? So that kind of helps people along. And if you don't make a good decision about something that you so-called trusted your gut on, it's okay. Let it go. Own it. You know, we all screw up. That's how we learn. That's how we become better. We meet people, doesn't turn out, have issues. You know, don't create trust issues because of these things. Just try to do the best you can do with what you've got. Something else is persistence. Happy people are cool about never giving up. So happy people face each new challenge with the attitude that it'll bring them one step closer to their goal. So if you have goals, That's another good thing, too. Set up some goals you'd like to achieve in a month, 3 months, 5 months, you know. And I don't like to use the word fail ever. You know, I guess in class, if we fail a test, true that. But I don't like those words. I'm a failure. Because then we incorporate that stuff into our consciousness. You will never fail as long as you never give up. And we need some downtime to rest. But if it really is important to you, you just have to focus on what you want and learn the required skills and make a plan to succeed and take action. Because a lot of us get really happy when we're pursuing something that's really important to us. So again, whether it's a job, whether it's a, I don't know, a degree or, you know, something like that, or learning art or something like that. We just need to be persistent, because then we won't be able to blame ourselves. Well, I didn't try hard enough. Happy people go, you know, I'm trying really hard and I'm going to give myself a break. When I want a day off, it's okay. Okay. All right. Also, another thing that I really noticed with a lot of happy people, and I looked at this survey, and if we can accept some of the things, sounds like the serenity prayer, right? Some of the things that cannot be changed, happy people usually don't waste energy on circumstances beyond their control. They just don't. Yeah, so accept your limitations as a human being. A lot of people come into my office and say, I'm just not perfect enough. Find a lot of women have that characteristic more than men. I don't know what that's about. Social media pressure? I don't know. I'm just not perfect. I want to be perfect. What is that anyway? Who the heck? It's all subjective. There's no such thing as this is perfect. It's all how we feel about something. So be gentle on your soul. Also, happy people take care of themselves. Now, I talked a little bit about doing things that are fun for you or hobbies, but I'm talking about self-care. You know, take care of your mind. Try to find a group or a individual who can teach you to chill out. Know how to relax. Know how to meditate, if you will. It's not that hard. It just means calming your mind. So you can sort out things in a nice alpha or theta state, right? It's not, you don't have to go into the om, you know, and the whatever. But eat healthy if you can. Try to get some exercise. Don't kill yourself at the gym. You don't have to compete unless you want to. That, if that charges you up, just get some half an hour, 45 minutes of walking in a day, every other day. Yeah. Get a lot of sleep too. That's huge. And don't forget to hydrate. Don't forget to drink water to hydrate your body. So all these things are some of the habits that happy people do, Josh. Just, you can listen to the show again. You can listen to what I've just told you about this survey. Of course, in the podcasts, they're going to be up right after the show here on my webpage on LA Talk Radio. And I'll put some content in there. Also, all of my iTunes, every show here is on iTunes podcasts. Yeah, it just goes on to iTunes podcasts. So that is cool. So you can check them out on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And by the way, you are listening right now on a beautiful Friday here in Los Angeles. Finally cleared up. My God, we're such wusses out here in Southern California. Oh, it's been raining for 3 days. I don't know what to do. Shut up. You should talk to my friends in New Jersey right now. Okay, we're moving on. And thank you so much for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com because I have a little letter here. And it's interesting because I don't know if I've ever been asked this question before. But again, this is from Sarah. And she said, a friend of mine told me that when you argue with your relationship partner, that the first several minutes of an argument matters most because it's what and how you speak to them. I'm asking this because my husband and I get into these yelling fights about stupid things like finances, plans for the future, and our in-laws. Well, okay, I'll keep reading. I'll tell you about that in a minute. We usually end up having makeup sex. But I still feel the pain from some of the comments he makes when arguing. So I'd really like to understand what my friend meant about the importance of how the beginning of an argument goes and if it could help our relationship. Yeah, well, that's important. By the way, stupid things that you argue about, like finances, the future and in-laws, those are not stupid. Those are called normal things that usually married couples argue about. Finances is the biggie. Children, of course, is another biggie. In-laws is huge. God, are you kidding me? Huge. We all come into these marriages and we come from these different backgrounds and upbringings and, you know, the orientations. And our partners have grown up in a completely different environment sometimes. And the way that they and their parents handled issues and arguments or whatever, life's stuff, is usually really different from the way our parents and we learn to do it. So we have to sort of roll and learn to adapt to that. So they're not stupid things to argue about. I'm not into yelling fights because it just doesn't help. And you said, Sarah, that you do get into these yelling fights. That's kind of dumb. It's almost like I think people get addicted to the drama. That's what I call it, of the endorphins, of the rush from yelling and getting it out. Not healthy, because you're angry and you're stressed. And you're also pumping out some nasty stuff, cortisol and things that are not good for you. Yeah, you'll get a rush and all that, but don't get addicted to that. Talk to each other kindly, you know. Express how you're feeling in response to the way someone else is talking to you if it's not very nice. Wow, I feel like you're attacking me. Slow down. Whoa, did you just say, you know, repeat what they said. That hurts me. Let me think about the answer. I don't know how to respond, but I don't want to yell at you because I'm hurt and I want to yell at you right now, but I don't want to cause a crazy thing. Now, let me just say this. A little side note here, Sarah. If you're arguing so you can have good makeup sex, go for it. But honestly, you can have good sex without arguing and then getting into the passion of it, really. I don't think it's real healthy to argue and scream and yell and fight, and that makes it worse, because it, unless you really work on it together and go see a couples therapist on how to talk to each other and communicate better and understand what each other's feeling and thinking and why you're feeling and thinking, then and agree to disagree, you're gonna keep having these addictive yelling fights, so that it's not a good thing. And I was also thinking, Sarah, that your friend probably read something from John Gottman. And he's a psychologist, and he's known for his work on marital stability through direct observations, you know, of people. Very scientific. His research shows that a lot of what predicts a relationship outcome is the way the fight begins. You know, it's good because it means you don't have to worry so much about what you're fighting about or how often you fight. You just have to think, okay, you know, if I want to protect my relationship, I need to make sure that I start the fight correctly and I don't let it escalate. And I learn how to de-escalate, which means I learn how to just like say, whoa, let's stop yelling. Hold on. Let's just calm down. Walk away. Let the dust settle. All that stuff. Because I think de-escalation, as we call it, is something that we can all use. You know, take a breath. Let the dust settle. Take a little walk. It's great for people in, you know, living together, especially in a marriage. You know, you just have to go to disagreeing better. You know, it's better to not fight a lot. It's definitely healthy to not scream and yell and go beyond that, fighting or, you know, whatever, throwing things to improve your relationship. But you just, like I said, you have to go from arguing to disagreeing better and arguing more fairly, okay? We're all going to argue in our relationship. Is this called normal human behavior? You know, we need to accept conflict in our marriage sometimes, or our relationships, our live-in partners, whatever. So a lot of researchers, I'm just laying this out for you, they say that if you know and learn how to fight fairly, conflict is really good for the relationship because it really helps you understand the other person and what, you know, triggers them and why. You know, kind of moves you towards a better place of understanding because it helps you work things out. So if you don't work things out, the yelling and screaming, it just, you know, it just catches up with you and it's a constant addicted thing. So you just have to take your time and, you know, use the I statements. I do have these printouts and I can send them to you if you want to request them from me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. You know, use I statements. I feel hurt when you say that to me. Okay, please, let's not yell. Let's talk to each other in a lower tone, especially if there's children around. Come on, guys, stop. That's terrible. One of my clients asked me about 3 weeks ago. She said, you know, my son, who is 11, is starting to do a lot of strange things, throwing things around, screaming, having temper tantrums. I'm saying he's 11? Well, first of all, I thought, yeah, it's the hormones. Of course. But then I got in a little deeper. We started talking about her relationship in the environment with her husband, and they do scream and yell a lot. So I told her, I said, your boy's trying to get attention. Hello? If you guys are so focused on yelling and screaming and arguing and focusing on your issues, there's a little child, human, you're responsible for here in the house that you may be neglecting. And please don't scream and yell in front of him. That's what I told her. So there you go. Just a little side note. So you can, you know, find strategies to keep couples happy, you know. All righty. Thank you so much, Sarah, for emailing me. I really appreciate it. This is Doc Michelle Cohen here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you want to email me, we're live on latalkradio.com. Call your friends because we're going to be talking about some ways to save yourself from messing up your life. I love this email. Okay, Tom, thank you so much. This is a good one. Says, hey, Doc. I seem to self-sabotage a lot. I don't know what to do because I get into these relationships that seem great and everything's going well. And then I find an excuse to pull out of the relationship. Okay. Very nice. That's a whole ball of wax. That's huge. So we have to talk about that a little bit. But this may not be related to why you self-sabotage. But anyway, that's fine. He goes on to say, I have other opportunities in work and other personal situations, but sometimes I also mess things up and don't show up. I leave work early sometimes and I don't follow up with many people. Why do I self-sabotage? This is a huge issue because you have to start thinking about, you know, what I'm seeing here, what I'm hearing are, you know, avoidance behaviors. Avoidant. You're avoiding committing. You say you have a good relationship that begins and then you pull out. What are you afraid of? Think about that. And I really encourage you to go see a therapist who specializes in insight to yourself and why you do the things you do. And then do a little cognitive behavioral tools so you can learn how to push yourself into situations. I don't know if you have social anxiety, but you said you don't show up to a lot of events or things or something like that with your friend. What is it are you avoiding about becoming close to people? You've got to really think about these things. Take notes for yourself. What fears do you have? What's so scary about getting too close to someone? Got to look at your past. What happened in your home? What happened when you were younger? If you got too close to someone, did they hurt you? Were you neglected? Were you put down, humiliated? So you've built up this barrier to where when you now are an adult, I assume, that you don't get too close because it keeps you safe. Because God forbid you open your heart up to somebody, they may stomp on it and that would hurt, just like it hurt a long time ago. So think about those things. All right? And please do see a therapist. If you want me to refer someone in your area, I can do so. There's a great website where you can find someone in your area, too, that I always refer people to. It's psychologytoday.com. Very user-friendly. Just put in your area, the kind of things you want to work on, the kind of therapist you like. And, you know, if you have insurance, that's very easy to use. That'll narrow the search for you and find people who are great. A little free publicity for them. Also, some ways to save yourself from messing up your life. I gave you kind of the quick and dirty of self-sabotage, Tom, but just some ideas, too, about how to kind of save yourself from doing things that might get in the way of having a better life. Stop taking so much notice of how you feel. You know, oh my God, I don't feel happy. What's wrong? So many people, I'm not feeling good today. Well, I guess that's what therapy's all about. Yeah. But what you're thinking and feeling is what you're thinking and feeling. It's okay. You can do it. It's normal. We all have thoughts. If it's unpleasant, feel it, let it go. Like the Zen thing. Just let it go like clouds passing over your head. You know, you can't stop thinking or prevent emotions from, you know, kind of coming up sometimes. You can defocus. Don't be ashamed of your ruminations or a lot of thoughts or negative things you think about. You're doing that for a reason. It's things you learned. Survival mechanism. Always anticipate the worst. That'll keep you in control. All that stuff. Okay? So just try to allow feelings that are unpleasant to come up. Just don't take so much notice. Oh, my God. I mean, if you take notice of how you feel, that's more mindfulness, as they teach. But it's don't beat yourself up. If you're not feeling good, defocus. Find something else that'll focus you into a project, into a goal, something like that. And that goes with letting go of worrying. You know, we can think and worry about the what ifs, but we have to find as well, what are we getting out of that? What benefit is the, I'm going to focus on what if I get hit by a bus when I walk out of this building today? You know, whatever. What if my partner dumps me this weekend? They don't seem to be really, you know, into me lately. What if? Just take care of yourself. Don't worry. We can't control other people or other things sometimes. The only thing we can control are our own thoughts and feelings, behaviors. That's it. You know, so don't hair trigger to the first sign of feeling weird or trouble or problems. You know, just ease up. Ease up, as I call it, on the internal life commentary. You know, again, stop telling yourself you're miserable. Ease it up. Find defocus ways. Do fun things. Other things. Get out of it. I'm unhappy. This sucks. I'm unhappy. This sucks. This person sucks. They're so mean. Do something different. Get yourself out of it. All right. And work on your inner critic. Yeah. A lot of times why we're unhappy and projected on situations or other people is because we're not happy with ourselves. That's it. Got to look at, what am I not happy about myself that I have to put this on other people? Just be a little cool on yourself. Don't be so critical, you know? Judging other people's is just, it's not in other situations. And sure, I mean, we have to choose and pick and choose our friends or our social kind of gatherings or whatever. Hopefully our work. But, you know, there's always someone doing better. There's always somebody else in another type of relationship that may be better. There's always it doesn't matter. You're not in a contest. Just get off your back. That's a lot of old stuff, too, that you bought into when you were younger. You're not good enough, smart enough, deserving enough, yada, yada, all that stuff. Give up on the guilt, too. That's another one. Don't care what other people think a lot of times. Just be kind of stable and pleasant. Don't try to cause a lot of chaos. And if you are, and you're a bully, figure out why you got to do that. Okay? So these are just some ideas. And again, I would suggest, Tom, that you might go to, you know, a therapist who might help you explore why you're self-sabotaging. I just gave you sort of the quick and dirty. of that. I wanted to read this email also that this is a tough one. I received this from Sean, and thank you so much for emailing, and thank you for listening to The Couch here. Tom writes, Tom in my last email. Sorry, Tom. Sean writes, this past weekend I lost my dad, who'd been fighting lung cancer for a couple of years. He was absolutely the greatest mentor to me in my life, and I'm having a difficult time dealing with his passing. I have a lot of family members who are also suffering, but I don't want to bring them down any more than they already are. My friend suggested that I join a grief group. What do you think about that? Please help me with some suggestions on how I can deal with this devastating loss. Well, Sean, I'm so sorry. It is never easy. Never. And, you know, my number one tip is to just get some support. Turn to friends. Family members sometimes do need to talk about it. The ones that you can comfortably and safely talk with, then you can share both of your feelings. Yeah, well, I miss him because he did this, and that helps. You know what I'm saying? Draw loved ones close rather than avoiding them sometimes. And really do accept the assistance that's offered. It's really important to do that, honey. If you are religious or spiritual, really try to draw comfort from, you know, that spirituality or your faith. Embrace the comfort of some of the morning rituals that, you know, religions can provide, especially with family and friends. Okay? And about that support group thing, it's a great idea. Sharing your sorrow with others who've experienced similar losses can really help. You know, so you can find a bereavement support group in your area. Just Google it. Just find it. It's really good. And again, you can find a grief counselor or therapist out there. Put it out there. PsychologyToday.com. It's good. And, you know, you've got to also take care of yourself. A lot of times when we're grieving, it's more important than ever to take care of ourselves. Because I'm telling you, body-mind is so connected. So the stress of a major loss can really deplete our energy and emotional reserves. So you've got to look after your physical and emotional needs to help you get through this time. Excuse me. You've got to face your feelings, express your feelings. Do not feel guilty. You're going to go through stages, but they're not necessarily in order. DABDA. As Kubler-Ross designated, there's denial, you know, and anger and bargaining and depression and then acceptance. And we never totally accept the loss of someone. Oh, it's cool. I'm good with it now. Never, never. We'll always think of them. But that deep pain just sort of seems to fade away a little easier. And, you know, do Google some of the stages. There's other stages that we go through as well. There's all these other little things that come in. I should have been a better son. I should have been that person. I shouldn't have argued. We never really know. That's why we always say, you know, tell someone in who you really care for that you love them every day. Make sure that you text them. Make sure you email them. Just make sure that there's a point. That's called just expressing love so that you're not ever punishing yourself that you weren't enough to someone, you know? And it's normal to feel sad and numb following a loss. But as time passes again, these emotions usually will become less intense. We sort of slowly become aware and accept the loss and start to move forward. Okay? And I do believe in grief groups. They're really great. But get a lot of help from your friends. Allow yourself to feel. If you're in a situation and you need to shove it down, try to do that if you can. But when you're alone or it's okay and you're around people who love you and will support you, go ahead and express your feelings. It really does help clarify, you know, some of those things to you and legitimizes your pain. It's nice to have people who are there for you and can really help. Okay? And again, you might go to a therapist who specializes in grief therapy. All right. Again, so sorry for your loss, Sean. And if you'd like a printout, Sean, of some of my information on coping with grief, do email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I thank you guys so much for being here today and, you know, for reaching out. And I hope I could help you in all these different ways with your great questions. I sure appreciate it. All right, we're going to be back next week, and I have more great stuff coming your way. We're going to be talking about really helping your own self-esteem, getting yourself together, because, you know, you've always got to, like, come within first before you can have the best kind of life. You don't look at it out there, someone to save you or other things to fill you up with stuff. You got to fill yourself up first. We're going to talk more about that next week. Dr. Michelle here. Thanks for being on the couch. Do take care of yourself first, then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Flashing.